Auburn's still chasing that number one class, and it's not out of reach.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We are back. It's a Live with C5 Sunday night fireside chat edition, ready to talk recruiting or really whatever you guys want to talk about. It doesn't have to be limited to just recruiting. I got some stuff I want to go over, share with you, kind of get you caught up to date, and then we're going to hit the chat. We're going to have a lot of fun. Just make sure, if you want to make sure your question gets read, hit that super chat. And before we get started, I also want to say, I understand my top button's not buttoned tonight. The rule is, if you got a vest on, you don't have to button your top button. So I don't want to hear it. No, I'm just joking. I had to let it air out a little bit today, but we're going to have some fun. Auburn, obviously, no surprise, lands Elijah Melendez, four-star linebacker, over the weekend. If you're a member of the Barn, kind of been giving you play-by-play about this one throughout the, you know, basically since the Barn's inception, basically since it's become a thing. We've been talking about Elijah Melendez. He comes in June on an official visit, thought he was going to flip, goes on an official visit right after to Miami, reaffirms his commitment. They do not stop talking to him. They do not stop communicating with him. And pull off the delayed flip. I know there's some technicality about what you can call a flip or not, but this was when he decommitted from Miami, he was coming to Auburn. So I know it was a 2-week delay or whatever it was, but he jumps Auburn all the way up. If you look at 247, he jumps all the way up into the hey, Wendy, War Dam from Bruton, Alabama. That's my hometown, so that's awesome. Yeah, so it jumps Auburn all the way up to number 4 in the 247 rankings and continues to push Auburn, put Auburn in position to be able to make a push for that number one class. It's not out of reach at all. And there are some big guys still out there that Auburn is either A, closing in on a commitment for, or B, is helping kind of postpone, giving them a lot to think about from pulling that trigger and going ahead and end it. And that one in particular I'm talking about is Andrew Babalola. But the roadmap is still there. Deuce Knight is still on the board, as far as there is no real drop in confidence there. As a matter of fact, even though he hasn't gone official, my confidence has sort of risen with him, as far as just some recent intel and stuff we talked about a little bit last week. And then I think that official visit scheduled for the Oklahoma week, as long as that thing goes down like it is scheduled, I think that recruitment could be coming to an end very soon as well. Again, this is an unprecedented territory for Auburn. Yeah, even if you didn't add Elijah Melendez and you ended the class as it was, it is the it's the best class Auburn's ever had. And then if you add everybody else you add now, it's just gravy, and it continues to boost that ranking up. It continues to boost that ranking higher and higher and higher. And I really think there's 5 or 6 more guys they're going to add to this class, and every single one of them are big game guys, big game hunting, 4 and even 5-star guys that you can really make an impression, really grab some headlines by adding. So I think the next one to be on the lookout for, as far as someone who has a scheduled date, we're going to talk about a little bit later, is Usman Chroma. And then there's several that could just pop at any time. You know, you got Tyler Lockhart out there that could just go at any time. Andrew Babalola, honestly, could go at any time. I think they want to get him here for that Oklahoma visit as well, for that Oklahoma weekend as well. Just a lot of guys that you're still feeling really, really good for. And that number one class is not out of reach. And I think that would be awesome. I understand that there's still some football to be played, and I understand that if you were to tank the season, that could have an effect on some of the recruits. But I don't know. I don't really see that happening right now. I'm not really ready to freak out about that right now. I think you just got to keep pushing and keep calling these guys and keep trying to get them on visits and keep trying to close out this class. And they're doing a really, really good job. I want to pivot, go to the wide receivers really quick. So Caleb Cunningham has been a name that's been sort of, I guess, out there ever since Auburn's been recruiting wide receivers. That's always been a guy that's going to be at the top of the list. That's always going to be a guy that is, you know, everybody's wants, especially now that he's committed to Alabama. But not only that, but he's a five-star. He's a big wide receiver. He's a big target. He's kind of that Hugh Freeze, you know, another Cam Coleman kind of clone is what he would be. So I know he's the five-star. He's the one everybody wants. But I think Auburn is starting to hone in on two guys that I think if they get both of these guys, they'd be fine ending the class and they'd be very, very excited. And I saw someone name it a little bit earlier in the chat. I believe it was Brett M. And that's C.J. Wiley, and that is Dalen Upshaw. C.J. Wiley's from, I believe, Milton High School, the same high school as Ryan G. I'm not really sure exactly how to pronounce the last name. He's one that Auburn was on early. Really thought that you had really good footing with, and I believe he committed to Florida State. And I'm just going to be honest with y'all. Florida State played on that Monday of week one. Remember, they played week one on Monday on week one. After our first game, CJ reached out to Auburn, and there had been some communication. There was some chatter, but there was not a lot of like, it just wasn't very serious. It was more cordial, just kind of keeping up. It was not a lot of serious conversation because he was kind of locked into Florida State. Well, he actually reached out to Auburn to kind of fire that back up. And ever since that, it's gotten a lot more heavy communication, a lot more realistic chance that this kid could end up at Auburn. And you start to see that Florida State starts off 0-3, and that just obviously makes it even more, I guess, even more realistic that he could end up at Auburn. I think C.J. Wiley is creeping up to be the top target left, the top target that you have on your wide receiver board that you're pushing to get. I think if you could get him, he's also a bigger receiver. If you could get him, I think you might not be so concerned with trying to flip Caleb Cunningham, and you may be able to use resources that it would take to flip Caleb Cunningham elsewhere. So that's one that I'm really, really interested to see over the next couple of weeks, how that one plays out. So I'm very, very interested to see how it plays out with C.J. Wiley. And then another guy that the chatter's picking up. And I would have guessed this kid would have been in our wide receiver class from day one. I just expected this kid to be a guy that was going to be a big name, a guy that was going to be you don't want to let a kid from Phoenix City go elsewhere. You just really don't. Even if he's a smaller guy, he's had an unbelievable start to the year. And that's Dalen Upshaw from Central Phoenix City. He played with Cam Coleman last year, had a sick season last year, even playing with Cam. I know obviously playing with Cam helps the attention be taken off of you and you can kind of eat. But this year when he's the guy, he's still out there making it happen. I mean, last year he had 1,200 yards receiving and 15 touchdowns. This year, he's already got 6 touchdowns on 12 receptions through just a few games. He is going to be I think he's going to end up being a guy that is going to be start moving up the board. It's a real target as far as, hey, let's go ahead and push. Let's go ahead and push and try to get this kid in the boat. I think you're about to start seeing the heat be turned up on him as well. I'm going to jump in a super chat really quick. Our boy Thomas Jones. I love this. I heard this on the SEC scoreboard this morning. Instead of what can Brown do for Hugh, we found out what can Brown do for Hugh. That needs to be on a T-shirt. Somebody's got to put that on a T-shirt. And you could sell as many as you can print, I guess. I really do. I think you could sell as many as you could print. But it's that was good. On the SEC Rewind this morning, if you watch that scoreboard where it goes through all the, you know, highlights and whatnot, someone said, what can Brown do for you? And whoever the host was said, no. It's what can Brown do for Hugh? And I thought that was really clever. So big shout out to Thomas Jones for pointing that one out. But back to Dalen Upshaw. No, I think that you're about to start seeing the heat turned up on him, and I think you're going to see his name. I think he just came in for a visit maybe last weekend or recently he just came in for a visit, and it's not going to be his last. He's currently committed to Miami, which is Miami's recruiting well right now. They're playing well right now. So pulling off that, even though it's a local-ish kid, I think would be a big flip. And I think it's somebody that you already are going to get you already kind of have a good foot in the door with, just again, him being local. And then he's a good player too. He's a really good player. He could be a little bit more stocky, even though he's shorter. I think he could be a really like good Robert Lewis-ish type player, physical but explosive at the same time, small but explosive, be able to take small, short passes and get up the field and make it happen. So CJ Wiley, Dalen Upshaw, let's watch those two names. I think you're going to see them start to pick up a lot more steam over the next few weeks. And then the last thing we're going to talk about before we hit questions, Usman Chroma, talk to him on the sidelines. He is a physical specimen. Again, he was here this past weekend. He loves Auburn, and I think he actually talked with Christian Clemente from 247 and basically said, hey, the 28th. I'm shutting her down on the 28th. So he's got a lot of predictions into Auburn. I think he either just went to a visit to Georgia or he's going to go to a visit to Georgia. It seems like even if Georgia were to push right now, I think Auburn's got the upper hand. I think he loves Auburn. I think he loves everything that's going on at Auburn. And this is a franchise running back that you got that you could possibly end up adding to the class. And like all the guys we're talking about right now are top of the top as far as recruits left on the board. Like we're not adding bodies. We're not talking about adding bodies to the class. We're talking about adding legitimate. We're talking about legitimate high 4-star kids that you could add that continue. That's why that number one is still not out of reach. You add Usman Chroma to the class, you're jumping up there a lot higher. You added Deuce Knight to the class, you're jumping up way higher, and you're just getting again into that territory that Auburn has not really ever had a chance, not really ever been able to get to prior. So that's kind of all I have for my itinerary. So I want to hit the chat. I want to get in the chat. I want to have some fun and get some comments, get some questions going, and then just see what happens the rest of the night. See what the conversation takes us. Chris Womack, any Deuce news? Nothing. The biggest news I think is that he had a little hammy issue in his past this game this past Friday. I think he went down in the first quarter with a hamstring issue. Don't think it's serious, but I wouldn't be surprised if he missed a couple of games. That's just on the Deuce Knight himself side. But as far as the recruitment goes, I think Auburn still feels like they're in a really good spot. I think he's made it very well known that he still loves Auburn. He still wants, I think his family still wants him to come to Auburn. And I think there's some Notre Dame staffers that don't really believe they have a shot to keep him. And I'm just going to leave it. I'm not going to go very much deeper into that, but I don't think Notre Dame has a ton of faith that they're going to keep him. And I wouldn't be shocked if this happens. If he comes to that, official visit, if he does show up for that official visit for Oklahoma, I wouldn't be surprised if Notre Dame pulls out of the recruitment. I'm almost wondering if that's what Deuce is hoping. You know what I mean? Like where I don't have to do it. Maybe if they do it, then it's a whole lot easier. That's something I'm watching. I'm watching what Notre Dame does here because, I mean, Notre Dame's sort of in the same boat that Auburn's in. It's like at some point in time, you got to know. So if they continue to feel, and I think they feel like it's Auburn. They feel like he's going to end up at Auburn, but it's like he's still committed to you. So you can't really move on because he's still committed to you. But I think if that visit happens, if that visit goes down, then I would imagine they may have to go. They may have to look elsewhere. So I'm honestly watching what Notre Dame does more than what Deuce does, to be honest. Great question, though. Let's keep going. There you go. I saw this earlier. Good call, Brett. Brett may be in the Brett may be a member of the barn, so he may be leaking some info there. No, I'm just kidding. No, but we talked about these two guys, I think on Saturday at the barn, kind of giving everybody a heads up. So again, if you join in, a lot of this, a lot of the folks, if you're already on the barn, a lot of this stuff is a little bit of rehashing stuff you already know. So if you want to be ahead of the game, definitely check in there. Yeah, here we go. So Witt Flicks YT, from what I saw, Deuce got injured in his last game. Not sure on that. Yeah, he did. He had a hammy issue. It just wasn't super serious. He could miss a game or two, but I don't think it's anything that's going to be like to be super duper concerned about. Let's see. Derek Anderson, C5 don't make the rules. Vest trumps the top button. That's just the way it goes. There you go. The vest does it. It trumps the top button 10 times out of 10. So if you're a top button enthusiast, if you put on outerwear, you can unbutton the top button. That's kind of the way I live my life. There's Wendy Williams, Bruton, Alabama. Yeah, that's my hometown. So thanks, Wendy, for jumping in. Johnny Barner, 247 has Melendez as a 3-star. There's always some site, man. There's always some site that's going to be off the wall. Usually it's On3 that's sort of out there, but 247 does have him as a 3-star. Everywhere else, he is a, on every other site, he's a very high 4-star. He's a composite 4-star too. So that means if they take the average of the scores from all the sites and do it into one ranking. And he's a 4-star. He not only is a 4-star, he is the number 147 overall player in the composite. So that's, I mean, a top 150 player. And I'm telling you, this kid, if you haven't, I challenged everybody in the commitment pod that I dropped to go check his huddle out. It's a lot of fun. You don't even have to know anything about football. You don't have to know anything about linebackers. You don't have to know anything about how to play football. If you watch that, you're like, that guy's a football player. That is the most pure form of how to play linebacker in the game of football that there is. And we got him for at least for now. He is going to be he's in this Auburn Tiger class. So let's see if we can, hang on to him, I guess. Good question here. It's Itsy Boy 34. I guess I said that right. Do we know if Cam is going to play against Arkansas? I believe he's going to play against Arkansas. He was throwing fades. He was holding his right shoulder. Well, he was throwing fades to Perry Thompson in warmups. So I wouldn't worry about that. I think he's going to be ready to go. He practiced a little bit this week too. It just wasn't any contact stuff, but there was really no reason, especially with the forecast and the slipping and the wetness and the rain. There's just no reason to risk it. I think he's going to be fine. Stinger, whatever you want to call it. Don't think it was a huge deal, but he should be fine for Arkansas. And that's another thing to think about that's really cool about what Hank did, regardless of the defense, is he did it without the best receiver on your team. He did it without your top receiving weapon. I say top receiving weapon, maybe at least your second best, 1B, because KLS is a stud. But yeah, did all that without Cam Coleman. That's pretty impressive. Robert Smith, with a 5-7 season coming or worse, can we keep recruits? I'm going to bite my tongue here and just nod. I'll tell you what, Robert, if we only win 5 games, I'll buy you a steak. How about that? Remember this. If Auburn only wins 5 games, I'll buy you a steak. How about that? Let's see here. Derek Anderson. But if that were to happen, I would assume there would be some attrition. There'd be a little bit of issues with recruits, but I don't see that. I don't necessarily see that happening. But if you do go that route, if that does happen, then you are going to have some issues hanging on recruits. I'm not crazy to think that that's not a possibility. If that were record were to happen, I just don't see it happening. Let's see. Derek Anderson, I feel we will get Babalola, but not Knight because of Hank Brown's new role. This is a good, you know, this is a really good, this is a really good topic that, I think is a good conversation. If Hank Brown comes in, he already had one good game. If he continues to do what he does, and it sort of seems like Auburn has their guy for a couple of years, does this hurt with a Deuce Knight? Does this make it to where that's tough with Deuce Knight? Because now Deuce has he has Hank Brown, he has Walker White, and Walker White in front of him. And Hank's not going anywhere. If Hank's the guy, he's probably not going anywhere for a while. He's probably got at least he would probably have to sit for at least 2 years, you would imagine. Because I don't know if Hank's necessarily going to be a redshirt sophomore, you know, high draft pick. Like, I don't know that that's going to be his game. But he may, you know, he could be. I don't know that he has really the physical attributes yet to be one of those, you know, prize top, you know, first round draft picks, you know, right now. But he could eventually get there. But I think he's got at least 2 years with Deuce on the table. I'm sorry, Deuce on the roster if Deuce were to come. And, you know, I think Deuce mentioned, you know, playing time is a big deal. You know, he does want to get on the field early. But if he's got 2 years, in theory, Deuce could come in as a redshirt sophomore and maybe get some scrap, maybe get some playing time here or there. The thing is, you got to take one of these guys. You got to get these guys every year. You got to get one of these guys every single year. And Notre Dame has two. So Notre Dame had a really good quarterback that went the year prior. He was only one spot behind Walker White. They have a really good quarterback committed for 2026. So, like, he's surrounded by good quarterbacks no matter where he goes. Okay. Now, in theory, you could say, is the path to playing time a more uncertain at Notre Dame than it would be at Auburn? I guess you could say that if Hank were to continue to progress and continue to get better. But still, it's not easy either way. It's not easy in either spot. And I tell you what, Deuce is a little bit concerned to watch Riley Leonard and then the kid from Wake Forest whose name escapes me, who the past two portal quarterbacks that were really good at their schools prior come in and struggle 2 years in a row. So that's definitely something that's on the radar there as well. So I can see that being an issue, but at the same time, everybody does it. Everybody recruits at the top. They recruit big time quarterbacks every year. So it's, in other words, I'm saying it doesn't really seem like that is something that is going to be news to a quarterback recruit. Like, that's not something that's going to jump out and shock them that, oh my gosh, they recruited a good guy in the first class. They recruited a good player in every single class before me, and they're going to recruit a great player behind me. That shouldn't really come as a shock. Robert Smith, why is Arkansas not favorites? Because Auburn's better than them. That's pretty plain and simple. And Auburn's probably going to win by at least two touchdowns. So I'm going to go ahead and move on from that. Brett Moran, Hank won't have an effect on Deuce. He'll redshirt his first year more than likely anyway. Yeah, I can see that argument. I just don't think it's going to happen. I can see that argument, but I don't – I can see that discussion, but I don't think that's really going to be an issue. I think Deuce is going to end up at Auburn whether Hank is good or bad. So, let's see. Brett Moran, has Sam Turner dropped on the board? Somebody asked me the other day, does Sam have the green light to commit? And I said, I don't know if it's green, but I think it might be yellow. Okay. In other words, if Sam were to say, I want in right now, like I want in, I want to be a part of this class. I'm tired of the visiting. I want to shut it down. I'm coming and I'm ready to go. I think they would have to make a few calls before they accepted that commitment. So, if you want to say Sam's dropped down the board, that to me seems a lot more negative, I guess, that are a lot more of a slight to him. Whereas I don't really think he's dropped down the board. And I guess maybe you have to say that, but I do think that their steam picking up with CJ Wiley and with Dalen Upshaw. And if Sam doesn't make up his mind or do something, he could get left out, especially if he, you know, wants to come to Auburn. He seemed more bothered by the Cal weekend, understandably so. He seemed more bothered than most everybody else. So we may have dropped down with Sam a little bit. Maybe not so, maybe from the aspect of maybe I want to wait it out a little bit longer and see some things. But if he keeps waiting, he might miss a spot. So I don't know. If he were to call tomorrow and say, I want in, I would imagine more than likely he'd be a part of the class. But I don't think that's happening at this point in time. Let's keep going. NH3425, one of my favorites, one that's always in here every single weekend. All of y'all are. There's several that are favorites, but you always have some really good questions. What about KJ Lacy? I think KJ Lacy, I don't want to never say never, but I think that ship may have sailed. I think he's going to be locked in with Texas. So I think even if something, God forbid, were to fall through with Deuce Knight, I don't see KJ Lacy as being a backup plan at this point in time. There's some connections there, you know, with Antonio Coleman. There's some connections in Auburn there. He's tight with Perry Thompson. But if anything, KJ could be someone that could be maybe a portal guy down the road. You saw Archie went off yesterday, and he's clearly got some game, and he could be the future there at Texas. So that's just, you know, a lot longer that KJ may have to wait. And then you have Dia Bell, I believe, that's in that 2026 class, who's just a avatar. He's a creative player at quarterback in that class, coming right behind KJ. So he's sandwiched between some mega superstars. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him, but I don't see him as being a basically, I'm not gonna lie, I think he turned Auburn down. I think Auburn pushed for him right after the whole Juju thing happened. And I think he said no, and I think Auburn would have continued to push for him, but I think they pivoted so hard quickly to Deuce and the interest built up so fast that they kind of honed in on Deuce. But I think he turned Auburn down right after the whole Juju saga. And I don't really blame him. Could have had this kid in January if you wanted him. And he has been lighting it up, absolutely lighting it up to the beginning of his season. He's a good player. He's a great RPO quarterback. He's small, but such a low floor to me. He may not have the ceiling that some of these other guys have, but man, he's kind of ready-made for this offense, but for whatever reason, things just don't seem like they're going to work out there. But hey, watch him. You know, if things go wrong, you never know what could happen in the portal. Brett M, another one. That's a what do you call it when you go to the same place a lot? I can't think of the name. God dang it! What is it called? It's completely left me. He's also here a lot. Brett M, big shout out to Brett. Please tell me we get Omar Mabson and he doesn't go to the Evil Empire. He's going to be one of the top backs that Auburn's looking at. I was kind of shocked. He's elite. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's a stud. I was shocked a little bit how small, I guess, he is. He's a lot smaller than I expected from a lot of the things that I've watched. But, man, he's got a gear. He's on another level. He's physical, even at that, even at being a little bit smaller. He's small, but he's not tiny. Like, he's short, but he's stocky. He'll definitely be one talked about, but Auburn's got some big running backs that they're going after. If you take two in this class, you may only be looking to take one. So you can be picky here, and he'll definitely be one to watch. Let's see. Let's keep going here. Let's see. I think there's a conversation going about how awesome Arkansas is, I guess. But James Barnett says UAB put 24 on Arkansas as an example. I know our roster is way better than UAB. Not saying you're wrong. Again, I think they're talking with Robert Smith, who thinks we're not going to win a game for the rest of the year. But yeah, UAB got stroked by Louisiana Monroe, and I think Arkansas, honestly, they won by 10, I think, but I think they trailed at one point by maybe two touchdowns. at minimum. I think UAB was up on them pretty big, and they came back late. The Arkansas quarterback he struggled. He's not very accurate, and I think UAB was able to keep him corralled as best you possibly could, being UAB and making him throw the ball, and they struggled. So that definitely happened. Let's see. Brett M., great, great point. Usman got to see the run game take off, especially in the second half. They really started to feed the backs. And, that kind of stuff makes an impact. The running game has been sort of a mystery to me the first three games. I understood why in the first game they wanted to air it out, because that's Hugh's identity. I want to throw the ball. But the run game has been sort of slowly evolving. Slow to evolve. Let me say that. Not slowly evolving, slow to evolve. And it just seems like we really got shot out of a cannon there in the second half. And hopefully that's something that you can continue to build on. Let's see. Dang, gotta hit that. Let's see what this one says. Johnny, yes, buddy, Johnny, you got to hit that bell. Dang, got to hit that bell so I ain't so late to these things. Do you think Thorne takes back the starting spot? Absolutely. I think it's done. I think I respect him, but I think his college career may be over. Some people were talking about, is there a chance he could redshirt and have another year? I think he signed in 2019, redshirted that year. So his 2020 year would have been a throwaway. So you go, you're a red shirt freshman in 2021, sophomore 2022, junior 2023, senior this year, 2024. So I don't think he has any more time. And I think that's one thing that Hugh probably struggled with a little bit, because this is it for him. I don't think, barring an injury. Now let's talk. Holden came in at the end of that game. Okay. That game, I think Peyton, with everything that went on, I don't think that was a game Peyton was ever going to come in for. So I don't think Peyton's third string. I don't think Peyton's fourth string. Okay. I think Peyton's going to continue to prepare like a pro, as he's always been, as the number two quarterback. And if there were an injury or something of that nature, or Hank gets his helmet knocked off, or something like that, and you have to put in the number two guy, I think Peyton's going to be your number two. Off the bench, I don't see him unseating. I don't really see him unseating Hank unless something just unforeseen happens. Mason Dub, love what you do, man. Thanks, man. Love you too. I really appreciate it. Stuff like that makes it fun to keep going. Let's keep going. This is a good one. A Maximus. Does Ryan Williams tearing it up across the state make our young studs second guess anything at this point? What would they be second guessing? Where they went to school? They're playing right now. Ryan Williams is having a good year. Cam Coleman is having a good year. Perry Thompson's having a good start to his career. I don't really understand what they would be second guessing at this point in time. So I don't know how to answer that question. And honestly, Cam Coleman never wanted to go to Alabama. I don't even know that he visited Alabama. He had no interest whatsoever in going to play for Alabama. Now I guess maybe Perry, but Perry, I don't know that Perry would be able to be playing there right now. And he's had, in three games, he's had two big catches and a touchdown. Like, he's having a good year too, and he's getting better. So, no, I don't think they're regretting anything at all. Let's see here. Hey, Johnny, I'm with you, bro. If we got to get a transfer quarterback, I hope it's this kid from New Mexico. That dude was bad, man. Now, he was inaccurate, okay? So he was like 22 or 44, so he was not very accurate. But, boy, he was just impossible to get hands on. Whether we rushed three or the few times we actually rushed five, you couldn't get a good hit on the guy. He just slithered out, and he was mobile and he could sling it. He'd be a fun one to watch. And maybe this is a show for later in the week, but we're talking about, as of, September 15th, which is today, does Auburn get a quarterback out of the portal? Like, after what you just saw on Saturday, if you had to guess right now, does Auburn go to the portal? I think that's a really good conversation to have. I think it's best for Auburn not to have to, I think if you can, if Hank can continue to progress and be the guy that you're like, okay, you can clearly see the results on the field. He's playing really well, making really good decisions. Another year, and we don't have to go drop a ton on a portal quarterback, and we can surround him with some guys, and you don't have that many holes to fill, so you can really go hammer and get some elite guys to put around him, and you have a real GM helping you out at this point in time. I think that's what's best. Now, if I had to guess right now, if you just said just right now, I'd say you're getting a portal quarterback, but I think Hank could easily play his way out of that. I think Hank could, his play could earn him, you know, that starting job for next year. Thomas Jones, do you think Scott should consider moving back to the star position? Because in my opinion, his stock is dropping in the draft as a DB. He is having a rough start to the season, a very rough start to the season. And yes, I would definitely suggest if I could, if he would listen, he may not have an option. If you want to play, you're going to have to move in inside. They actually did move him inside a couple of times and he still struggled. I think he was targeted, you know, I think it said seven times and he gave up three or four completions. But that to me could have been way worse because there were some down the field where he was completely roasted that were either bad throws or the wide receiver just couldn't make a play on the ball. So I don't know what you do there. Some of it I think is the quarterback has so much time and the guys are struggling. The DBs especially are struggling having to guard these dudes for so long. So I think if you could dial up some pressure, I think that would help him out a ton. And they did make some adjustments in that second half, but I knew that outside corner was not probably his ideal spot in the NFL, but I didn't think he'd have this bad of a year. And I know maybe he's got some kind of lingering little injury or something like that going on, but rough start to the year. The only way he gets to the NFL is carved a niche to me in that nickel star position that you're mentioning. So, yeah, 100% agree. Let's go. Is that the one? Sorry. I'm still getting used to the super chats. Here we go. Chris Tinsley. What's the news on Kay and Lee not playing? They said in the post-game press conference it was a calf strain. I have an idea of what this is about. I'm not going to go into any detail, but I'm just going to say I don't believe it's a calf strain. I think this may be a little doghouse. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I think it'll be fine. You had another DB that missed the game, I believe, last week, and may have been something along those same lines. I think this was a punishment. I don't think he had any type of – I don't think this was injury-related. Again, I don't want to go into too much detail, but I feel pretty confident this was more of a punishment than it was a calf strain. So let's see. Let's keep going. The weakest link. Anywhere a big time recruit signs is going to have to is going to have to compete and earn the job against guys currently on the roster. It's not anything specific to Auburn. I totally agree. The good programs, you're going to have a good quarterback in front of you, and then you're going to have one behind you before long. So you better get ready. If you're going to play college football at this level, you're going to have to get after it because it's not like they just bring in one guy and give you the keys and that's just it. Richard Reeves, 7-5 is still the floor. I could see 7. I mean, if you win all the rest of your home games, that's 7 wins. So I think all of them are winnable. Oklahoma is not look like they're incredibly unbeatable. Texas A&M is not unbeatable. Arkansas is definitely not unbeatable. So if you just win all your home games, that's 7 wins. And then you still have, you know, couple of road wins. You have that Missouri game off a bye at 11 a.m. That's tricky for them, not us, I feel like. And then you have, obviously, Kentucky on the road, where Auburn play pretty good there. I think there's been some really good games, but it's had a pretty good bit of success at Kentucky. So I'm with you. I still say 7-5 is the floor. 8 wins was, to me, the floor if you had that Cal game. And now 8 wins seems like you're going to have to steal one somewhere and win all your home games to get to that 8-win category. Stephen Bowden, I'll check into the notification thing. I feel like if you sign up for the if you subscribe to the channel and hit the alert, it's supposed to alert you when we go live. So I'm not 100% sure what happened there, but I'll look into it. What's up, Ant? Ant is another one of the usuals, another one of the guys that comes in a lot. War Eagle to Ant Robinson, WDE gang, right back at you. Let's keep going. Let's see here. Oh, here's a good one. NH 3425, any news on offer? No news, in my opinion, is good news, because the last news that we've gotten on offer is that Auburn is sitting pretty. Auburn's doing really well with him. So I think no news is good news, and I still feel like Auburn is – I still feel like Auburn's prime to flip him, and he's one that could go at any point in time as well. Again, a couple of weeks ago, Ohio State's moderators were – already starting to scout backups. They had sort of written him off, moderators on their message boards, that is. So when Ohio State's sort of punting on him, I say that's a pretty good indication. So haven't had anything new, haven't had anything necessarily new on him yet over the past couple of weeks. Alan Brooks, nice timing, getting a hard-hitting linebacker. You daggum right, Alan Brooks. And this son of a gun is one of the hardest-hitting linebackers that I've – one of the hardest hitting linebacker films that I can remember seeing since maybe like a El Toro Freeman, or maybe even Kenny Britt, KJ Britt. Those guys had really good down. They were really good downhill linebacker films. And this kid's maybe better. I'm not even kidding. Like, it's very, very impressive. Let's see. Let's read this one. This one looks like it could be good. Johnny Barner. Who is a 2025 commit you feel doesn't get talked about enough or doesn't get the hype they deserve we should look at? This one's easy for me. Jordan Crawford. Oh, and I got another one too, but Jordan Crawford is a monster, okay? Jordan Crawford is he's as wide as a refrigerator, and he is athletic. He plays a little bit of running back at Parker too, at close to 300 pounds. I really do believe this. I think Jordan Crawford, of all the commits right now, I think he has the best career at Auburn out of any of them. That's my prediction. Jordan Crawford, we are going to be ecstatic about that kid when he gets to campus. I really think he's going to be a really good one. And then Bryce Diaz is having an incredible start to his season. He's playing linebacker for that St. Francis Academy or whatever it is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area with Blake Woodby. Blake Woodby, I think, had an 80-yard pick six on Friday, by the way. Bryce Diaz is, 6 or 7 tackles a game, and he plays a little bit of receiver too. I think he had a 30 or 40-yard reception in his past game. I think he's another one that's going to be a big name. But Jordan Crawford's easy. Anytime anybody asks me that question, I always go to Jordan Crawford. I think he's going to be really, really good. Let's see. Let's keep going. Aaron Does Stuff. What do you think our recruiting class for 2025? What do you think our recruiting class for 2025 will be when it's all said and done? I assume you're talking where they finish in the rankings. Okay. Now, I'm not going to go 100% boog, but I'm going to say if I had to guess right now, and I'm looking at, let's say, I feel like you add Deuce. I feel like you add Chroma. I think you land Alford. I really do. I think you land Alford. I think you get Tyler Lockhart. Two at worst, maybe. Legitimately, I really do. I think two at worst, and that is assuming that, Auburn doesn't do what that's assuming I don't have to buy that guy a steak and Auburn wins more than 5 games. So it just doesn't completely implode. But yeah, I really do. Those names I said, I think Auburn gets all of them, and you probably end up somewhere around the number two spot. I really do. I really think that. And I think if you get Babalola too, if you get Babalola in the mix, which I think Auburn's got a really good shot at it too, man, you're it's going to be hard to not be number one. So that's where I'm saying. I'm just going to say two, so I'm not full on homer. Brett M had one right before that. His 2025 commit that nobody's talking about, Dante Core, nailed it. Hey, you nailed that one. This kid is having a really good season. Our boy Dustin with the Uptempo podcast goes to about every one of his home games and gets a lot of good film. And he's messages me all his stats and stuff like that. He's a stud at that. I can't remember the name of the school. It's in Fort Walton Beach, though. He's a player, long, physical, can play corner and plays wide receiver. He's, you know, 6'1", a legit 6'1 corner. He's going to be really, really good. Regular. There you go. I don't know why. I've been struggling with what that is. Yes, regular. Another regular. So I don't know why I got hung up on that one. Let's see here. Let's keep going. Here's a good one. NH3425. I'm going to ask and just answer a couple more, and then we're going to call it a night. With Alvin Henderson coming in next year, how do you see his role with Cobb and Austin and company? Henderson, RB1, possibly. I don't think he's going to be your running back. I don't think he'll be your first guy off the, you know, first guy out there. But I could definitely see him being somewhat of like a change of pace, maybe. I think he's got some untapped potential in the passing game that you could really exploit. It'll take him longer than most, I think, to adjust to the speed of the game. But I think he has a ton of upside. I just don't know if 2025 is the year that he makes it happen. So let's just answer a couple more, and we'll call it a night. Let's see. Let's keep going. Johnny Barner. I don't see Perry leaving Cam. I think this was in regards to the guy that was concerned about Perry maybe being jealous of seeing what's going on in Alabama with Ryan Williams. Perry and Cam are tight, man. Like I said, before the game, Cam was throwing fades to Perry. Cam was warming Perry up. Let's just leave it at that. They walked out together. Every time I've seen them come out on the field, they're together. They're the first. They walk out together on the walkthrough. They walk out together. They come out together in pads. They throw together. They're sort of hooked at the hip with each other. And I'm with you. I think they're going to play a big role in each other's career. And I think they see that. So I don't see him leaving. I don't see him leaving any either here. I don't see him leaving either. I'm going to answer this one, and then I might call it a night. We need to hear more from transfers, Rakes, and Bleedy. I think you need to hear more from Rakes than Bleedy. Bleedy's having a pretty good year. Bleedy typically grades out pretty high, and he is I think he's one of your better defensive linemen. Rakes, I don't know if it's just I don't know if it's not being in shape. I don't know if it's, you know, being injured and missing a little bit of practice. I mean, there were times when he couldn't practice for like a week at a time. He's struggling right now. He's not doing what you need him to do, and that's being able to eat up blocks, take up space, and free up pass rush lanes. He's not really being able to do it. He's getting pushed around a good bit. I think he's definitely got to step it up a little bit. Let's see. I'm going to answer one more. Let me see if I can find a good one. And they're all been great, but let me get one more. Here we go. This is one. Let's end on this one because this is a good one. Johnny Haldridge. Malcolm definitely needs touches in C5. Why ain't Malcolm returning punts? Seems like he would be the go-to. Look, you're not going to catch any argument from me about wanting Malcolm to get more touches. Every time he does touch the ball, something explosive happens, something special happens. I wouldn't be shocked honestly, I thought he'd be on kickoff team. I don't really understand. I know maybe you're putting Hunter out there. You have Jeremiah Cobb back deep, and then you have Sean Jackson as your other deep back, and he's sort of like your lead. I guess maybe he's like your lead blocker. I thought it was going to be Malcolm and Cobb back there, which to me would be electric. Pick your poison, kick to one or the other. And they snuck Cobb in, not Cobb, they snuck Malcolm in to that up back position when they were doing the little pooch. Like, they didn't want to kick it to Cobb anymore, so they were doing that little pooch and kicking it to a tight end. Well, they snuck Malcolm over there, and he got a return, and he almost took it to the house. I mean, put him on punt return, whatever. Just get him the ball more. He's got to touch the ball more. Got to get him the ball. And I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't start getting a lot more playing time. I think he also may have been in a little bit of the doghouse for that, dropping the ball almost a little too early on that first touchdown. I think he might have been in the doghouse just a little bit. I could be wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised. You got to get him on the field. You got to let him get the ball in his hands. You got to let him, get in there and get after it. But I think that's going to be it for tonight. Y'all, great questions. Had a lot of fun doing it. Obviously got a couple of new members and new super chats and stuff like that. Obviously we appreciate that every single time. And guys, we appreciate all the regulars. Thank you for getting it to me. The regulars for that come in every Sunday night. I love this Sunday night spot. I love this chance that we get to just take it wherever we want to go. And I really appreciate you guys. So if you like this channel, like it. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. We're going to be back again tomorrow and every single day because we like to get in here and have some fun. So, guys, I really appreciate it, and we will catch you next time. Let me figure out how to do this, get back to my screen. And I'm a technology, just a king. But y'all have a great night. Another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.